I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, have you or someone you love said something like this? I'm frightened by the state of our world. It feels like things are falling apart. I'm worried about my family's future. How can I stand firm in my faith and Christian values while living in a world that rejects them? Well, my guest today says, yes, the times are turbulent and questions and worries like these can haunt us and even keep us awake at night. The world feels more threatening than ever, both globally and in our own backyard. But is it possible that in the end, there's actually nothing to fear? Well, my guest answers that question with an unequivocal yes. I'm so honored to welcome back the Honorable U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black to talk about his book, Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. I actually had Chaplain Black on this book when it first released in 2017. Of course, he's been on a number of times since then. He's always so gracious about joining me. I got to say, I feel like this book was fantastic back then. It's even more timely for us now. And I'm so grateful to his publisher. We've got 6 copies of this hardcover book to give away. Let me give you that title. I think every one of us needs this, and he's such a man of God. And I'm going to have him read. I forgot to ask him, but I'm just going to say this by faith. I'm going to have him read some of the prayers from his own book. Title of the book is Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. Quick announcement before we get him on the show. If you're new to the Faith Radio family, first of all, a big hearty welcome. We just love you. Maybe you're listening by podcast and you don't know we're a radio station, or maybe you're listening live by your app or something, but you don't know that we have a vast array of past podcasts from past shows. So either way, we'd love to send you a welcome packet to welcome you to the family. You can request it. We'll just never automatically send that out. So you request a welcome packet by going to our website at myfaithradio.com. All right, Joe is the first one in on the drawing. Joe, I hope you win a copy because you will love this book. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Chaplain Barry Black is the 62nd Chaplain of the United States Senate. Prior to coming to Capitol Hill, Chaplain Black served in the U.S. Navy for more than 27 years, ending his career as Chief of Navy Chaplains. He and his wife have 3 sons, and I always love to get to talk with him. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Susie. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, we look forward every day to talking scripture at the open of the show, and I know you spend ample time in God's Word. Is there a passage or a thought from scripture you've been thinking about these days?
Well, there's a verse in 1 John 4 that says, "There is no fear in love, because perfect love will cast out fear." I remember when I was a child, my family was evicted. In fact, by my 13th birthday, my family had been evicted 3 times. Wow. Looking back on that experience, and I was in a single parent home, looking back at that experience, I was surprised to remember that I had absolutely no fear. I came home from school. The furniture was out on the street. The neighbors, many of them, were looking at how little we actually had. And yet, I had no unpleasant emotion that something dangerous had happened and it would become even more dangerous. And the reason was I had absolute faith, trust, and love in my mom. And I knew that my mother, who always did, would find a way that we would land on our feet. Well, Jesus taught us how to pray, and the first thing he said was, recognize your connection to God, our daddy, Abba, our Father, who is in heaven. And that suggests 2 things to me. One, that we have this amazing relationship with the Almighty, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of the universe. And that's a mouthful. He is all-powerful. He is all-wise. He can be everywhere at once, and he is all-loving. And just knowing that God is love, says 1 John 4, that perfect love will cast out fear. There is no fear in love, or perfect love will cast out fear. So I've been thinking about that verse a lot lately because obviously we're in a global health crisis. And when I wrote this book in 2017, Nothing to Fear, there was no pandemic on the radar. And even though we were not in a global health crisis, people still are buffeted repeatedly, some continuously, by the winds of fear. We fear failure, so we don't even try many times, like the man with the one talent in the Matthew 25 story. We fear rejection, and so we don't let our reach exceed our grasp, as the poet suggested. We fear change, and that's why, you know, voting and presidential elections cause so much stress for people. We fear losing control. You know, we fear, you know, that something terrible is going to happen, even worse than now. And what will the future hold? We fear the future. We fear the past. It's catching up with me, and maybe something will be uncovered. And yet, there is, as 1 John 4, no fear in love, for perfect love will cast out fear. And the beautiful thing, I think, for me is remembering God's faithfulness throughout our history. You know, whenever I get a little anxious about what's going on, now, my God, look at how God has blessed this nation. There was no way we should have been able to defeat Great Britain. It was a superpower, and yet we did by the grace of God. And there are so many other things that God has brought us through. And so I believe, Susie, we have nothing to fear for the future unless we forget how God has led us in the past. And that's why I could trust my mom. I knew she's been a great mom and taken care of us all this time, and I don't believe she's going to let us down, and she never did. Our heavenly daddy, you know, it says our daddy in heaven, but we also need to keep in mind it doesn't say my daddy. It says our daddy. And so we have brothers and sisters, and we need to remember that the two great commandments are love God passionately and love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, Galatians 5:14 says, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you have fulfilled the entire law.
Wow. You know, there's so much about that story with your mom, Chaplain Black. I'm thinking of you had just 1,000 other experiences with her in other ways that built credibility in your heart for her, where when the crisis hit, you know, you already were so secure in who she was. And Scripture talks about, you know, all of God's promises are backed by the honor of his name. But if we don't spend time getting to know his character, getting to know his heart and his promises, it's hard to get a speed course when the crisis hits. I mean, God is still with us, and he'll show us great things. But people tend to be less not tossed to and fro as violently when they've spent some time before the crisis getting to know their God, you know?
Exactly. You have a relationship with him. And that is what – and you don't have a relationship without time. And someone said children spell love, T-I-M-E. And make no mistake about it, I have three sons, adult sons, and when they visit, it takes a while for them to warm up. And say, you know, and I sometimes we're going to pick them up at the airport or something like that, and you drive a while, you get a feel for one another. So you not only need quality time, but often quantity is the prelude to quality. And we need to spend quality time with our daddy who is in heaven.
Amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about some of the fearless principles, from nothing to fear. And here's a question for you, friend, listening today. What are you afraid of? What are you most afraid of? I won't read your name if you want to stay anonymous, but I just want you to chime in to the conversation around your fears. What are you most afraid of right now? 877-933-2484. If you want in on the drawing, like Rachel, Brenda, and Joe, text the word book in a separate text, 877-933-2484, talking to U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black. His book, Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. We'll be back in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I'm so honored and blessed to be talking to U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black, who wrote the book, and it's a few years old, but I asked him to come back because I feel like it's even more timely now than it was when it released, and it was great back then. It's titled Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. It's a hardcover book just packed with substance. We've got 6 copies to give away, so thrilled about that. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. You got a good chance of winning. But also in a separate text, I want to know, what are you afraid of? What are you dealing with? What scares you right now? And you can be anonymous. It's okay. This dear listener says, I'm afraid of my grandchildren, growing up in a world of hate. That is one that I've heard over and over again. Let's talk about this when you talk about Nothing to Fear. First chapter is titled Prepare for Some Paradoxes. I love that. What it means to be wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. Speak to that if you would.
Yes, the life, when you look at it from a spiritual perspective, it has a number of paradoxes. And one of the great paradoxes, in fact, it's the main paradox on which the book is based, is the one that our Lord says to us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 3, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. And you say, whoa, wait a minute. Now, here is the Good Shepherd who is basically saying to the sheep, I am sending you forth, and you will be like a lamb in the midst, right smack dab in the midst of wolves. And so it is difficult to grapple with that whole notion, and many people today feel in this predatory world in which we are living in, that they are a lamb in the midst of wolves. Now, why would a good shepherd do that? That's a paradox. Okay. Another paradox, and I'll give an answer to that, by the way. Another paradox is in Matthew 16:25. It's just very counterintuitive. Those who seek to save their lives will lose them. But those who lose their lives for my sake will find them. Yeah. And so we need, if we are going to understand that we have nothing to fear, we need to grapple with some of these apparent paradoxes. One way of understanding why the Good Shepherd can send us as lambs in the midst of wolves is because he never leaves or forsakes, and he will never forsake us. Hebrews 13:5, Matthew 28:20, he says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So it's like, you know, for me being evicted, mom is here, so we are fine. Yea, though I walk, says the Psalter, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And interestingly enough, Susie, he's not running through the valley. There's a pedestrian quality about it. And I think it was this that motivated the Hebrew worthies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, to say to the king, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. But if not, we burn before we bow to your image. And God joined them in the flames. So even as David in 1 Samuel 17 talked to King Saul about how God had enabled this shepherd boy, David, to deliver his sheep from a lion and a bear, the good shepherd is with us, even in the midst of the predatory. And one of my favorite Bible promises is Romans 8:28. It says, in everything, God is working for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purposes. His purposes, not ours. So there's that word love again. There is no fear in love, 1 John 4. And Romans 8:28 says, if you love God, in everything, he is working for your good. So in challenging times like these, we need to major in love and minor in everything else.
Major in love and minor in everything else. And I think as you talk about God, our history with God, so that we can trust him with our future, I think anybody who's walked with God a long time can say, as hard as the things that I endured were, as difficult as they were, I know now that God was always with me, as you say, and God somehow took what the enemy meant for evil and turned it for good. In other words, the enemy's plans against me backfired. I emerged through the flames stronger than I was, or wiser, or more equipped to steward the next thing that God has for me. We see that again and again. And I just read, I can't remember if it was 1st or 2nd Corinthians, where it was Paul talking about to the extent that you suffer for Christ will be the extent that you are comforted by Christ. And that is just true as well. You walk through those valleys, the comforter is near. And I think what we fear so often, Chaplain, is a future or a scenario that God's not in. I don't know if we're even saying that out loud, but that's what the enemy wants us to fear, is it's going to be that one time God looks away, turns his back, forgets where we are. What do you say?
Well, that's why we have the assurance in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. But here's another thing that really has helped me so much, and I would challenge our listeners to seek this experience. Jesus said to his disciples, John 14:15-16, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. There's a Greek word, parakletos, another advocate, another defender. And he will be with you, and he will be in you. And so Jesus says to his disciples in John 16, it is better for you that I go away, because if I don't, the comforter, the parakletos, cannot come. That's an amazing statement. What do you mean, Lord, it's better for you to go away? We need you here with us. But in his even post-resurrection body, he could not be everywhere at once. Okay, but he has sent God in the person of the Holy Spirit. And one of my favorite Bible promises is in Luke 11:13. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your heavenly Father eager to give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? Okay, so James chapter 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. God said, I am eager to give my Holy Spirit to those who ask. I'll date myself. For over 50 years, I have prayed Luke 11:13 on a daily basis, asking God for the special impartation of His Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" Listen to this, Susie. "Who lives in you, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price." And then Paul ups the ante in 1 Corinthians 8:11. He says, this is just absolutely amazing, "The same power that brought Jesus from the dead lives in you and will quicken your mortal body." So my experience over the decades has been an experiential relationship, a palpable relationship with the supernatural. He lives in us. And I don't want to frighten anybody, but you can feel it. You know, there's a hymn that says, "Teachers and preachers have made their appeals, marching like soldiers on life's battlefield. When to their pleading my poor heart would yield all that I know, there is something within me that holdeth the reins, something within me that banishes pain, something within me I cannot explain. All that I know, there is something within." When you have, if you pray Luke 11:13 on a daily basis, just asking God, whatever you're promising here in Luke 11:13, "I want it," you will have, oh my God, you will have a divine company keeper. The one, you will feel the presence of God in your life. And fortunately, I was a student way back. I won't even tell you when. It's medieval history. When I started praying it, you know, in college, I started asking for the promise in Luke 11:13 to be fulfilled. Stumbled upon it, and I have not been alone. I have not been alone for the rest of my life. He has been with me. I wouldn't leave home without him, as one of the American Express car commercials used to say. And that is the great gift that a lot of people are missing out on.
Yes.
And praise God, the Holy Spirit is alive and well on planet Earth, and He gives you power. Acts 1:8, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
We're going to pause here. I'm just thinking of the passage, "Dear brothers and sisters, you've not received a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. You've received God's Spirit as He adopted you as His own children. We now call Him Abba, Father." There's more to this. I got to read it when we get back. Talking to Chaplain Barry Black. Wow. We'll be back in a minute. You know, we need a move of God in our day. Can somebody give me an amen? I'm talking to U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black, and I just was hanging on every word he was saying prior to the break, talking about the prayer that he has prayed every day for the last 50 years, more of the Holy Spirit in him. And as you were talking, Chaplain, I was thinking of that passage from Romans. So great. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we also must share His suffering." And I wanted to know, friends, what are you afraid of? What you can be anonymous, but what are you afraid of? One listener says, my husband and I are childless. After many losses, we're afraid of growing old and not having anybody to care for us. And this dear listener said, my fear is produced when I'm trying by myself to answer my own questions, to solve my own uncertainties, or to produce fruit by myself. My fear goes away when I remember that God the Father has all the answers, and I get to approach him through Jesus by the Spirit. My faith must be in Christ, not myself. Fantastic. Amen. And I forgot to ask you before, because we were getting on so at the last minute, you don't have a book in front of you, do you, Chaplain Black?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Would you turn to page 16 and do us the honor of reading the prayer on page 16? And while you are finding that page, I want to pray for some of these requests that have come in. Lord, I pray for the couple that's childless. I pray for the grandma, so afraid for her grandchildren, for this dear soul, wanting to trust in themselves. Lord, we thank you that you're the answer to every question. Lord, you calm our fears. You defend and deliver us. Would you minister in those deep, deep places even right now? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All righty. I have it.
All right. You got 16. It. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Eternal God, thank you for the joy of your surprises. You do more for us than we can ask or imagine. Lord, keep our hearts steadfast toward you. Lead us safely to the refuge of your choosing, for we know you desire to give us a future and a hope. Today, give us the power to do your will, and we, as we more fully realize that we are servants of heaven and stewards of your mysteries and your blessings, Lord, give us the wisdom to make our faith the litmus test by which we evaluate each action as we refuse to deviate from the path of integrity. Keep us, O Lord, from being careless about our spiritual and moral growth. We trust in your mighty name. Amen and amen.
The prayers in this book are like that, one after another after another. We want you to know we've got six copies of Nothing to Fear to give away. Six copies. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And also want to know what you're afraid of. That's just so helpful. Love to pray for you. I love this one. Prepare for some surprises. I think we need to hear this in our day. And you're right. Enjoy God's surprises, for he's promised not to withhold any good thing if we'll walk blamelessly. As you seek to stay fearless in a predatory world, enjoy the abundant living that God desires for you. I want you to hear this again. I think it's a word for you today. As you seek to stay fearless in a predatory world, enjoy the abundant living that God desires for you to experience as you give him your challenges and wake eagerly to follow his commands. Forget what lies behind you. That's history. Instead, reach toward the future, knowing the best is yet to come. Man, that makes me so happy. And you say, Chaplain, that we should expect the unexpected because God can do the impossible. Say more.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, we expect surprises, first of all, because he is God, and we are not, okay? And he says in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. When I joined the Navy, Susie, I went to the uniform shop, and I bought the wrong hat. You know, we were supposed to be in uniform. And I purchased the prettiest hat. It had gold on the cover, and that should have been a sign because no one else was, you know, and here I was in my 20s. So I come out, and so in the inspection the next day, I'm the only one in this group of about 30 military officers with this ornate hat on my head. And the gunnery sergeant laughed so hard. This was a very serious inspection, but he laughed so hard, tears were streaming down his face. Because, you know, who could be this obtuse, okay? I was not the sharpest crayon in the box. And so from that moment on, the only rank I wanted was rank that would enable me to have gold on my cover, which was my cap, which was basically commander. It would be lieutenant colonel in the Army or the Air Force. But the sovereign God surprised me. He said, poor Barry, he's grown up in poverty. He does not realize, Jeremiah 29:11, the plan that I have for his life, plan to prosper him, to give him a future, to give him a hope, to lead him to a desired destination. And I ended up retiring, a two-star admiral. I didn't, they said, you have scrambled eggs. I had an omelet on my hat by the time in terms of gold when I finished, because God continues to surprise us with his amazing plans for our lives. It's Ephesians 3:20 all over again. More than we can ask or imagine. Joseph, prime minister of Egypt, really? Daniel in the Hebrew word, these are POWs, and yet Daniel 1 verse 20 says that Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of their doctoral program, 3 years, found them 10 times better than all of the other students in the program. And remember, they're a different race. They have a different language. They have to learn the new language. And yet, when they're doing the equivalent of doctoral orals, the man, the king, finds them 10 times better. Expect surprises. When you go in a fiery furnace and God joins you there, expect surprises. When you're thrown in a lion's den and God sends an angel to shut the lion's mouth, expect surprises. And you paraphrased Genesis 50, verse 20 earlier. Joseph says to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God, hallelujah, but God meant it for good. God will bring good even out of this global health crisis. Watch. Watch my mighty Heavenly Father bring good out of this so that we will be able to say with David in the 119th Psalm, it was good for me that I have been afflicted.
Okay.
That is what he is able to do. And 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, he comforts us in all of our travails that we may comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted. Surprise, surprise.
That
which broke me made me stronger, strong in the broken places. And the greatest surprise was that on a hill called Calvary, my God, on a hill called Calvary, God redeemed the entire world by the sacrifice of the purest person who ever walked the planet. And greater surprises are yet to come. Revelation chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And on it goes. Oh, what great surprises are ahead. And John Newton, captain of a slave ship, wrote one of his stanzas in Amazing Grace, when we've been in heaven 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Surprise.
Hallelujah. Is there anybody else feel like they're at a feast right now? My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's a twist in your story, if I remember right, Chaplain. When you were being prepared to be promoted and then you arrived and you suffered an injustice because of the color of your skin. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, I was selected for an assignment. And when I got there, the job mysteriously went away. But remember, I'd been praying Luke 11:13 all of my life, and I had prayed for the Spirit to guide me and to be in me, and I felt compressed to basically ask for a lower position. I said, we'll give you anything else but this. And I literally asked for In fact, I was startled when I got the impression, but I know this impression that has been with me for over a half century. And it was by taking the lower position that it diffused the entire situation. And the next thing I knew, I was in the fast lane on steroids. And was running the entire operation.
My
because
goodness.
I followed the impression of the spirit that God placed in me. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 6:19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So coronavirus or not, you've got God living in you, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. 1 Peter 1:18-19, we are redeemed not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, not with perishable things, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The value of any object is based upon the price someone is willing to pay.
Yes, Lord.
So that's how valuable you are in the eyes of God. Romans 8:32 says, if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, what else would he keep from us? Are you serious? You know, the Greek calls him the monogenes. It's a Greek word which means the only one of its kind. Nothing else like it in the universe. And God gave that. Hallelujah. He gave him. He gave him for us. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I got to say, as we're getting ready to go to this last break in a moment here, and I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but I just got to say it. What stands out to me in your story is your humility and your graciousness when you've suffered injustice, and yet your fierce faith in Almighty God. And I just want to say that what an incredible example for us all, because again, in a day when Scripture says, don't let a root of bitterness spring up in you and defile many, and Christians are feeling justified in their bitterness because of the times. For a Christian, there is no justification for bitterness, and it defiles many. But what if we deferred? What if we humbled ourselves? What if we stepped back and say, that's mere man, but my hope is on Almighty God? Might you be just put on a fast track on steroids? Be prepared to be surprised. We're going to go to break here. When we come back, I'm going to have Chaplain Black read a couple more prayers. We're going to talk more about what it means to be fearless in this day. Nothing to Fear is the title of his book, and he writes like he speaks. You can almost hear his thundering voice in the printed words on the page. We have 6 copies of this hardcover book to give away. I'm so thrilled about that. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. For tuning into Suzy Larson Live. You know what? No matter how long you've walked with God, it's like you're holding a Dixie cup and the ocean remains. We can't fathom the greatness, the goodness, the majesty, the holiness, and the power of Almighty God, who sits on his throne, yet knows us intimately, loves us deeply and completely. Nobody can gossip enough about you to God to make him change his mind about you. Isn't that just amazing? So why would we fear? Right? Talking to the Honorable U.S. Senate Chaplain Barry Black, who wrote this book a few years ago. I've had him on a few times to talk about it. I asked him to come back because the book feels like even more timely today than it was a few years ago. Title of the book is Nothing to Fear, Principles and Prayers to Help You Thrive in a Threatening World. 6 copies to give away. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. To me, this is like having a godly sage mentor pour into your spirit as you read this book. You're going to love it. Chaplain, if you would open to page 76, I like him to read his prayers because then you get to hear his thundering voice. And this is a purposeful prayer from Nothing to Fear. Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right, let's go.
Okay, Almighty God, who inhabits eternity, whose throne is heaven, and whose footstool is the earth. You have given us the gift of another day. May we never forget that we borrow our heartbeats from you. Continue, mighty God, to sustain us and give us this day all that we need to glorify your holy name. Help us to be faithful in the little things to qualify for greater service in your kingdom. Lord, make us poor in misfortune and rich in blessings. Give us enough challenges to keep us humble, enough hurt to keep us humane, enough failure to keep our hands clenched tightly in yours, and enough success to make us certain we are walking with you. We bless your mighty name. Amen.
That just chokes me up. These prayers are so powerful. Thank you so much for reading that. And another one of your fearless principles, I think, applies even more to today than it did a few years ago, was this one. You say, spend your life, don't hoard it. And you say this, as you seek to become salt and light in a threatening world, strive to spend your life instead of hoarding it. God has given each of us at least one talent to use in service to our generation. Say more.
Well, I think it's critically important that we understand the fact that we are here to serve and not to be served. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 20, he said when James and John's mom came and wanted her sons to sit one on the right and the other on the left in a temporal kingdom that was not even going to happen, he says, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, baptized with the baptism that I... We can do that. And later he said to his disciples, who were upset because of James and John jockeying for the chief seats in the kingdom, he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to spend his life. That is what Romans 12 is talking about when it says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, God doesn't want a martyr. We've had enough dead sacrifices. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is, says King James Version, your reasonable service. But it's basically saying, in the light of Calvary, that's the least we can do. So we have this great honor that Jesus has given us. He says in John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Well, what was his attitude about spending himself? He said in John 9, 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no one can work. And he was so passionate about spending himself that he said to the disciples after his encounter with the woman at the well in John 4, and the disciples had gone away for food and came back, he said, and they said, we got the food. And he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So that's the kind of passionate willingness to spend and be spent for of the Lord. And we're challenged in Hebrews 12:4 when we think it's getting a little rough. Hebrews 12:4 says, you have not yet resisted unto blood in your struggle against evil. Okay? In other words, you had a bad day, show me the nail prints in your hands. Show me your thorn-crowned brow. So we should be willing to spend ourselves for those who seek to hoard their lives. One translation corpse, it will lose them. But those who spend their lives for my sake will find it.
Wow. I got to say, Terry just texted in, Susie, it's such an enjoyment to hear Chaplain Black recite scripture. It's very James Earl Jones-like and powerful. I would purchase an audio version of the Bible read by Chaplain Black immediately. Someone needs to sort that out and work that out, because you need to be reading the Bible so we can all get it on audio. Just powerful.
Oh, that's really kind.
Thank you, Lord. Really amazing. You know, thinking, you wrote this. You said, few things help us stay fearless in a threatening world more than knowing that God desires to use us for his glory. I think we hunker down and cower, you know, and cover our head and try to hang on when we forget God fully intends to use each of us for his glory. Say a word about that.
Well, I think it's 1 Timothy 1:9 talks about how we were called and set apart for good works. This is amazing. Before the foundation of the world was laid. In other words, even before God set time in motion, we were called. He had a plan for our lives. That's why God could say to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, Before you were formed in your mother's womb. So this is preconception. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. So God has this plan for each of us. We are called, each of us, who all believers are called. And that's John 20:21, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And then for what are we called? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, you are ambassadors reconciling the world unto Christ, pleading as if in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. We become his hands. We become his feet. We become his voice. Pleading, 2 Corinthians 5:20, as if in Christ's death, be ye reconciled unto God. So it's an amazing blessing. God could use angels to bring people to redemption, but he uses us. You know, it's, you know, mm-hmm. Lilliputians, you know, it's like Gulliver making an army of the Lilliputians, you know. He uses us. It's absolutely amazing. And, oh, my God, we will have a status in eternity that we would not have had it not been for our Lord. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, and I saw a multitude which no one could number from every kindred, tribe and people, so there's a lot of diversity in that group, you know. And the question is asked, who are those robed in white? And the response is, these are they who have come out of great tribulations and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Like the potter who takes the broken vessel and makes a better vessel, we are literally elevated. Because the second person of Godhead is in heaven even now, Hebrews 7:25, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he uses us as his agents in good and bad times.
Chaplain Black, I'm going to see if I can fit this prayer in, because I'm watching. We just have seconds left, but I'm going to read a portion at least. Almighty and loving God, we desire to be responsible members of your family, rule in our hearts, keeping us from sin, sustaining our loved ones in all of their tomorrows. Surround us with the shield of your favor as you provide us with a future and a hope, accomplishing in our lives more than we could ever ask or imagine. Make us your ambassadors in a threatening world. We praise your sovereign name. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. Pray you found some encouragement.
Thanks for listening
here
to this conversation
next
from
time.
Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.